One of the best known early residents of Deadwood is Calamity Jane, and according to the various stories about her, she was a scout for the Army, a Pony Express rider, a sidekick of Wild Bill Hickok, and an angel of mercy who nursed smallpox victims and aided the poor. The reality is she wasn't really a Wild West heroine, but a tragic alcoholic. However, the legend of Calamity Jane has endured from the 19th century dime novels through Hollywood films to the recent HBO series Deadwood. James McLaird in his book, Calamity Jane, The Woman and the Legend, and Richard Edelain in his books, The Life and Legends of Calamity Jane and Calamity Jane, A Reader's Guide, write about the real life of Calamity Jane and the myths that have shaped her reputation. McLaird taught history at Dakota Wesleyan University in Mitchell for 37 years. Edelain is Professor Emeritus of History and former Director of the Center for the American West at the University of New Mexico. And James and Richard, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday. Well, I'd like to start out with what was it that got you interested in the story of Calamity Jane? And James, we'll start with you. I mean, this legend, what was it that piqued your interest?
I had a colleague at Dakota Wesleyan named J. Leonard Gentleman who had written a little pamphlet on Calamity Jane, and he and another person had pretty well blasted all the myths and legends and said they weren't true. And it piqued my interest then, how'd she become famous if she didn't do any of those things? And so I started to write an essay, and then a friend of mine, a scholar, said, you can't write an essay telling how she became famous if you don't put her life together first. And there went 15 years of my life.
And for you, Richard, what piqued your interest in Calamity Jane?
It was an academic question. I had written enough to get promoted to the top. I wanted to write for the general audience. And I looked at all the demigods of the Wild West, and they all had a recent biography, except Calamity Jane. So in the early 1990s, I began to look up materials, and Jim hadn't come on scene yet. So I began to do Calamity Jane nearly 25 years ago.
Was there a point when you met and you realized that you were both researching Calamity Jane?
I was in the Princeton, Missouri library doing research. That's where Calamity was born. And the librarian said they'd gotten a letter requesting information from someone else writing about Calamity. It was Richard Edelain. That's how I first learned about the fact two of us were working simultaneously.
So then, Richard, did the two of you work together? Or
you know, things like
collaborate
this.
In some ways?
Things like this can sometimes lead to unfriendship. It happened just opposite for Jim and me. We began to write a little bit back and forth and began to share notes and talk to one another, and really for me, the capstone is to dedicate my second book to Jim, because I'd learned so much from him along the way.
Well, Jim, how difficult was it to put the real life of Calamity Jane together? I mean, there's, you know, how much was written about her? I mean, how much digging did you have to do? What sources did you use?
There was virtually nothing other than myth and legend. And little bits and pieces came together. I found the census report of 1860 showing her real name, her real parents, but most of it for me was newspapers, because she couldn't write and very few people wrote really good stuff about her. I read microfilm newspapers for most of those 15 years, and librarians will always remember me in the Historical Society sitting all day reading and all of a sudden jumping up and saying, I found something. And it might be simply that Calamity Jane arrived in town today, got drunk, and spent the night in jail, but I had put her in a place and a time, and that's what I needed, the framework. And so it was bits and pieces that slowly came together and evolved.
And what are the basic facts about Calamity Jane? I mean, as far as, you know, her original name, where she grew up, and you know.
She said Martha Canary. Mm-hmm. Her name was not Jane. Calamity Jane was a nickname, kind of like a Jane Doe, and she was a Calamity. I think that's fairly simple. But her name was Martha Canary, born in Princeton, Missouri area in 1856. She said 1852 in her autobiography, and her grave marker says 1852, but it's 1856.
And she was orphaned at a young age.
Yes. Her parents went to the Montana Gold Rush in 1864, and her mother died there, and her father on the way back, and Martha ended up with her siblings. She did have brothers and sisters, and she ended up kind of, as a child, somewhat in charge of them, and a tragic life.
And what was it that brought her to Deadwood?
Gold Rush. She loved excitement. Uh-huh. And she sneaked along with the Newton Janney expedition dressed in men's clothing. And that was her entrance to the hills. And they must have liked her because the miners named a local peak down by Custer, Calamity Peak.
And she was, you know, there's this reputation that she was a scout, but she was what was the term, a mascot, more or less?
Just camp follower is a good word, okay. And you can use your imagination for the rest of that. I might add, because of time here, the impression you get that shows a different Calamity Jane. On the Newton Janney expedition, she was in men's outfit. When she re-arrived in Deadwood with the Wild Bill Hickok party, in 1876, she's in a buckskin outfit. And if you look at her dime museum pictures, she's in a men's outfit. But if you met her on the street, any of the rest of the time in her life, she was wearing a dress. She was very much a woman, wanted to be a mother, and a wife, and so on. So the myth gets sidetracked. I mean, it sidetracks the truth sometimes.
Well, Richard Edelin, how did this myth develop that she wasn't a scout for the Army, that she wasn't this big Wild West heroine, that she wasn't married to Wild Bill Hickok, or at least his friend?
Really, it's defined James McLeod. Jim was able to show that many of those things were not true. I became more interested in the legend because I've always been interested in the way we've built legends around these characters. And it seemed to me, even at her death in 1903, there were already three legends, primarily the one that has been hottest since then, the Wild West Woman. But there was the Angel of Mercy, and there was, in fact, the idea that she wanted to be a pioneer woman. She did have five husbands, that is, men that she called husbands. And Jim and I found a legal marriage certificate. We were the first one to find that. And she did have two children. That took a long time to turn out. And she loved children. And children loved her. So here we see, and in the photographs, there are about 26 actual photographs of Calamity. Five or six are in the Wild West dress, but more than 20 are in the Pioneer Woman dress. And if you look at that evidence, you look at the evidence of her relationship with men and as a mother, it really takes you away from that overarching Wild West woman.
I'm curious, regarding Calamity Jane, if she would have been famous if her name wasn't Calamity Jane, were there other women out there? I mean, if she was just, say, Crazy Martha, would we be remembering her even if she did all the same things?
I think she's more widespread and popular because of the legends than for her actual life. And that's true for most of those Western demigods. It is the legends that really have made them memorable characters more than their biographies.
I might add to that, if I could, that I think the reason Calamity Jane became famous, we have to remember there were several women nicknamed Calamity Jane, but in 1877, a Black Hills pamphlet writer, Horatio McGuire, wrote a little pamphlet describing her, and a dime novelist in Pennsylvania read that, and he was starting a new series set in the Black Hills on Deadwood Dick. He invented that character. And he read about Calamity Jane, he said, I'll make her the counterpart. So in 1877, his dime novel came out, Deadwood Dick, and Calamity's in it. She went from a regional, sort of known woman, to a nationally famous woman, maybe the most famous in the nation, instantly, overnight.
Do we know how she felt about this fame, about how she was being portrayed in these dime novels?
She loved it and hated it. She would denounce them as phony, made-up stories that had no truth. But every town she came into, she was Calamity Jane, the dime novel heroine, and she exploited it.
And let me add to that, when she begins to travel, locally primarily before 1896, but in 1896 and 1901, she makes national trips. She takes an awful lot of that image, that Wild West image, and sells herself with that, even though she's been denouncing the yellow back fiction that's been written about her.
Now, as historians, how hard was it to separate the fact from fiction? Because when you look at how the legend has evolved over the years, there were stories that were told, and eventually those stories were accepted as fact by biographers and historians. You know, how did you know, you know, how difficult was it to find the fact and separate that from the fiction? And what does that tell us about how history is written?
You know, I tend to use a different approach than Jim does and maybe other historians. I don't do either or, I do both and. So they are so interpenetrating that if you try to separate the woman factually from the woman legend, you miss the power of why we have Calamity Jane. So I try to see how they reinforce one another. And yes, we know that the Wild Bill stories are largely untrue. We know what HBO presents about her is largely more David Milch than it is history. But on the other hand, a good deal of what's in those is true too. So I try to deal with them as together, history, biography, and legend.
Mm-hmm. And James, do you take the same approach, or is it different?
Mine's a little more traditional, in the, old-fashioned maybe would be the better word. I did try to separate fact from fiction. For Wild Bill, for example, how do you prove that she did not have a relationship with Wild Bill, you know, and so on, and how do you dig the facts out? And so there are accounts of the Wild Bill party coming to the Black Hills, and he got married just before he came to the Black Hills, and you can read the details, and you can find her other relationships. And it was a matter of accumulating factual evidence, or at least what looked like factual evidence, that had nothing similar to what the legend showed.
One thing I noticed yesterday, I was down to where the historical part is in the old railroad museum, and they are now putting out a brand new pamphlet with the date 1856 for her birth. Jim and I have been pushing that for 20 years. Maybe the next move is on the cemetery stone, they'll get 1856. If so, Jim and I have had our impression on the stories of Calamity Jane.
Well, Richard and Jim, unfortunately we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.